My next guest is on the line. She is Tova Goldstein. She is a therapist and a community social worker. And I'm going to be chatting to her about how to survive your in-laws and to mend those broken relationships. Let me say that all over again. Relationships with your long-lost cousins this festive season. Tova, thanks for being with me on Chai FM.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
I was looking at this topic prior to our discussion. I was thinking, isn't it incredible how families are the bedrock of our civilization, of our everything? They are the most important units imaginable, but my goodness me, they can be so damn dysfunctional all at the same time.
Sorry, I lost you there.
Nah, doesn't matter. It was more of a comment than a question. I was pretty
Okay.
much just saying, is it incredible our families are the bedrock of what we are, and yet they can be so incredibly dysfunctional all at the same time?
Absolutely. That's what makes the world go round, right?
I suppose that's exactly right. So, yeah, we're going to get together over this festive season, some for Christmas, other for Hanukkah, whatever it is, we're getting together. There's time out. We're going to see the uncle at the end of the table that we've been avoiding for the last, I don't know how many months. We might have to deal with the very woke nephew that we have who's become anti-Zionist. There are issues around that table. How do you suggest we go about fixing these very damaged relationships?
Right. Yeah, and that's a great question, and I think something we tackle throughout the year, whether it's Christmas, Hanukkah, or any festival, or any birthday party
Sure.
or event that we're going to land up seeing family members that may trigger us in some way.
Boy,
This
good
is
word.
something that's very, it's just very true for all of us. So I think for me, one of the great points that we can maybe start to just mull over is this concept of separating facts from feelings. And often what happens is we get so caught up in our feelings around things and around people that we often tend to lose our way, we lose clarity, we get very clouded, and we get very emotional and therefore emotionally dysregulated. And when we are able to separate facts from feelings, it allows us to just be a little bit more level-headed about things. Right? So if I know that this person is the sort of person, then that's just a fact. It doesn't mean that I need to get emotionally invested in the story. It can just be something that I know about a person.
I
What do you
hear you.
think of
I'm trying
that?
to process this. I'm just finding it very difficult because I find this whole issue terribly triggering, to tell you the truth. Don't we have our red lines? Don't we have our issues that we just say, this is me, this is who I am, and I'm not going to meet you halfway because at some point I'm not prepared to make that compromise? I was thinking about, I don't know, say I had a nephew who was anti-Semitic.
Right.
I mean, there's a re I don't need to distinguish fact from feeling. I don't need to engage with him. It's okay that I don't like him. It's
Great.
legitimate, isn't it?
Perfect. Then it sounds like you've got put it drawn a line in the sand. So we have to know who we are, right? Before we can
Yeah.
engage with other people and have form relationships with other people, we first have to know who we are. So if I know that this is my line in the sand, and that means that I'm okay and I can compromise and I can negotiate up until a certain point, and then you've crossed a line and then I'm out. That is you knowing yourself. So it's so important for us to have our boundaries. Where is my line in the sand? And for everyone, that line is very different. And it can be different for one person. You can feel differently about a cousin, and you could have a different line in the sand for a different cousin, But you have to
Absolutely.
know
Yeah.
yourself and honor that. So when it comes
I'm
to relationships, there's a wonderful rule that we can use, and this is part of DBT. It's a psychological paradigm that you can use, and that is that we always have to make a choice between the relationship or my self-worth. And sometimes, if we're going to choose self-worth over the relationship, there's a cost to that. If I'm going to choose the relationship over my self-worth, there's a cost to that. There's a cost to every decision we make. So, what is a cost that I can live with? So, if I choose to not engage with that cousin, then I'm choosing my self-worth over the relationship. I have to be okay with that. I've got to own that space. So every decision we make, there's that seesaw, relationship or self-worth. Which
Yeah,
one
but
am I going
very
to choose,
often the
knowing that there's a
relationship seesaw
consequence
that
to
you're
each of
talking
them?
about isn't vis-a-vis that particular person itself. It's the brother who is not involved in this
Right.
at all. That's, I suppose, what makes this so much more complicated in the context of
Of
family,
course,
is there's
so
so much more at
complex.
stake.
Of course. I mean, we're simplifying this into 10 minutes, into a 10-minute conversation, you know, and it is so complex, and we all have our complexities, and we're all coming with our backstories and our own agendas, and you know, there's so much that goes into it. But that's why if we make a decision, I'm going to go to the event and I'm not going to talk to that person because factually that's not what I want to do, and I'm just not going to engage emotionally, or I'm not going to go to the event, and if they all, you know, don't want to speak to me because of that, I'm going to own that and I'm okay with that because they've crossed a line. You know, so even just making
Wow.
that decision, it's helpful when we are able to just separate our facts from our feelings. We don't want to be
I'm going
clouded
to
when
have
it comes to
to,
these
yeah, I'm going to have to take
decisions.
this one
We want
away
to have
and
clarity.
sleep on this one. This is a complicated thing to think about for the first time. Is that
Definitely.
legitimate? Is that legitimate to say, okay, for the greater good, there are other interests at play here, I just won't go there?
If you feel that that would work for you, then yes. But it's got to be something that you feel you can do.
Yeah, no, I
Right,
mean,
so,
I think there are so many Jewish families who are experiencing exactly these issues right now. There seems to be a massive generational shift between the way millennials and Gen Z view the same events that it's a stressful place to be.
It is very stressful. So if I can give maybe one, if I can offer one piece of advice around this, is that if we are emotionally dysregulated, or we are feeling hysterical about something, or we are in a panic about what am I going to do and what will happen if I see that person, and you know, and we can't think clearly because of that, we should
Yeah.
never make decisions when we are in that state of mind. You can't trust yourself to make a wise decision when you're in a clouded, you know, emotional storm state of mind. So the best time to make decisions about what is in your best interest or what is in your family's best interest is when you are in a calm state of mind. So don't make decisions yet. As you said very wisely, sleep on it. And when you're in a good and calm state of mind, that's when you can think to yourself, right, what's in my best interest? What's going to be good for me? What's going to be bad for me? You know, the last time I saw that person, it took me 6 months to come back to myself again. That's not in my best interest. I'm just not going to do that.
It's funny because when I grew up, the word triggering just didn't exist. It didn't have this meaning at all. Suddenly become all terribly real in the past couple of years. Let's lighten it up a little bit. I've gone way
And you know,
too
being
serious
triggered.
because, yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. Not being triggered is really, it's my mind and my body's way of letting me know that something is going on. Something's going on here. Right? It's giving me, my body and my mind are giving me information when I'm triggered. What is it letting me know? What's it telling me? So we want to be able to get to know what is the information that it's trying to tell me, that I should be far getting, I should be away, go away from this person, or I need to maybe, you know, close the circle around what happened with this person. I don't know, but it's telling me something. Right? So we don't have to be afraid of our triggers. Our triggers are giving us information. They're there to actually guide us in some way. We need to start listening to ourselves more.
Are in-laws
Of course.
triggering?
Of course, we have all these expectations about what our in-laws should and, you know, shouldn't be.
Is that the issue? I mean, there are so many jokes about in-laws. You can't live on this planet and not have heard a gazillion of them in our lifetimes. Is that the issue? Is it the expectation? And does it go both ways? Are the in-laws as disappointed by the daughter-in-law?
Very
Or
possible,
son-in-law.
very possible. And also, this is such a big topic, you know, because You can't take away the fact that there is the son or the daughter of the parents who have their own relationship and their own dynamics with their parents. Now comes in a partner who's now going to have their own dynamics and their own relationship. So as a daughter or son-in-law, is our job to mend? Is our job to have our own separate relationship? Is our job to be a support? What's our job? So before we even have a relationship, we first need to decide, well, what is my role here? What is the role of a daughter-in-law or a son-in-law? Right? We need to be very clear on that. But
You've
yes,
also got to be
in-laws are always
very
going to come with their
emotionally
own
evolved and
agenda.
in touch. You've got to be very emotionally involved and very in touch with yourself to be able to.
Completely. Completely. And
Yeah, but
that's
some of
that is
us
why
aren't
we are here
quite
on this
far
earth
down that
to evolve
road.
and grow.
As some of us still have a road, a long way to travel on that particular road. Okay, so let's assume you are stuck in a really toxic dynamic with somebody. What's the constructive step to take to manage this during this event, this family
Right. And
event?
is this somebody, a family member who you now have to spend Christmas or Hanukkah with?
Yes, for the purposes of our discussion.
Right. Okay. So we, in order for us to move forward, we also have to decide, do I want a relationship with this person or not? Is it in my best interest to have a relationship, to mend what is broken, or is it in my best interest to walk away? And first we need to decide that. Once we've made that decision, we can then say, right, if I need to mend this, what would that entail? And that means that I'm not going to compromise my sense of self-worth and my own, my own values. It means that I'm going to maybe build a relationship on my terms, possibly, if that is an option. Right. So it really just depends on what we want to achieve, what we want that outcome to be. Bearing in mind, and this probably is the most important thing, is that we have no control over what other people do. And we have no control over what other people say. And we have no control over what other people think or think of us. So we can go in with all these wonderful ideas of, fixing the family, but if they have their own decisions to make and their own opinions about things, then we don't really have that much sway. So we can
Got to
go in and
find.
do the best we can, but ultimately, that's all we can do. That's all we
Final
can do.
question for you. I've got to tell you, this whole
Yes.
interview I find incredibly
I'm
unnerving,
I'm
unnerving in
sorry.
the
Call me, we can chat
extreme.
later.
Sure, I should have left myself by the door this afternoon. Anyway, what's the one piece of advice you'd give to listeners, not just to survive, but to thrive in their family gatherings this season?
Okay. My piece of advice would be before you even make that travel or that go the distance or open that front door to spend time with them, you have to say to yourself, what do I need? What am I going to need to help myself get through this? And for everybody, that's going to be different. For somebody, it might mean I need to have my therapist on speed dial. For someone else, it might mean I need to bring my favorite coffee. Because that is what I use. For someone else, it might be I'm going to make sure I've got, and I found out where the nearest gym is so that I can get out if I need to or go for walks or whatever it is. Prepare yourself before, arm yourself with whatever it is that you need, and it's always going to be subjective to help you. We need to be able to take care of ourselves, and no one else is going to take care of our mental health except for us. So I need to be actively in charge of my own mental health. And that's going to look different to what you need to do for yourself. So as long as I'm aware, this is going to be hard, but these are the things that I've already put in place to help myself and to take care of myself when I'm struggling, then that's the best that I can do in those situations. But knowing, going in knowing that it's going to be difficult is just being real. We
Being
all have these
real.
visions of these wonderful family things. Sometimes it's just not like that. Can we be okay with the fact that sometimes, or always, our family isn't actually what we hoped it would be? Can we be okay with that? And then knowing that, what is the armor that I need to take with me to protect myself and to take care of myself while I'm there.
Tova Goldstein, you're awesome. That was an amazing discussion. Thank you so much for your time with us.